Let's get into our memes. Man, I'm already getting dry here. What's going on? So today, I love this one. You know, Jesus hanging out with the Avengers and just saying, you know, hey guys, look, I am the hero of heroes, and that's how I save the world. Come on. How many like the Avengers? Any Avengers fans here? Yeah. How about X-Men? Any X-Men people? You know, it's like Marvel, DC, all those, like, you know. Some people are like, I don't know what you're talking about, Eric. That's okay. There's some people that know what I'm talking about. I know. It used to be just Superman and Batman, and I don't know what happened. Now there's like 60 heroes out there. I don't even know who all it is. All right. The next one, I thought it was a funny one. Stark Spangled Banner. You got to be an Avengers fan to understand it. It's Tony Stark, you know, obviously Captain America, you know, Spangled Banner. And then it's Bruce Banner, who turns into the Hulk. Get it? Stark Spangled Banner. All right, moving on. All right. And then I thought this one was funny. I went to save the world. Mom said I had to clean my room first. You know. Hallelujah. All right. So what do the Avengers, SpongeBob, if you could just hold off on the title slide there, Mark, for a second. Sabrina the Teenage Witch, Wizard of Oz, Fantasia, Twilight series, and Harry Potter have in common? They're all part of our mainstream culture. That's one thing, right? But all of them have a message that some of us who are not understanding of what they stand for, we're swallowing their message hook and sink. All right, everybody got quiet. They're like, what's going on, Pastor? You sucked us into something. Well, let me just say something. Some of these, specifically Avengers and Harry Potter, all convey supernatural powers. Supernatural powers. Our society, especially our youth, want to connect with the supernatural. How many know that's true? I mean, all of us. You know, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3:11 that eternity is written into the heart of man. All of us have something inside of us. There's a void that says there's got to be more. There's something that goes beyond what my eyes can see. I know that there's something out there. Jesus said that the spirit moves like the wind. You see its effect on a tree. You can't really see the wind, but you see its effect on people. So we know there's a world. There's another dimension that governs what we do, and people want to tap into it. But the problem is they're tapping into it outside of God. We have this thirst in us. And Steve Russo, a Christian author, said, young people are looking for power. He's written many books on this subject. And Wicca is a belief that promises supernatural power over their environment. Now, let me talk about this. Some like Twilight and Fantasia and SpongeBob, because they offer us to something that seems to be harmless. It doesn't seem to have an effect on our lives. But check this out. Twilight, for example, if you want to just show the image in case you're not familiar with this, it is about a girl that falls in love with a vampire. So the way that this came about is the writer, the author of this series, she had a dream. Isn't it interesting? She had a dream where she saw this beautiful, sensuous, romantic vampire, you know, and this girl, and they fall in love. So all of a sudden, something that was grotesque, and remember the old Dracula movies? You know, it was so grotesque. Now all of a sudden, it's beautiful. And all these girls are thinking, oh, this series is the most romantic. It is so amazing. And it was birthed on a dream. Isn't it amazing that a lot of these movies and a lot of the songs, you know, that we hear, you know, sometimes come about because people had a dream or a vision or they were on drugs? I was getting serious in here. You know, I've never actually watched it, but I'm not going to ask which ones of you have watched it, because I want to make sure you listen to my message. Now, let's look at SpongeBob. You know, interestingly enough, if you think about it, it's kind of an aberration of a cartoon. I mean, we're talking about like it's a sponge, you know, that comes to life, you know, and then there's all these weird characters in there, you know. And they do things like you could do it on land, and I don't know, it's kind of a weird. it seems harmless, and therefore we're willing to entertain it. But it's definitely nothing like the early cartoons about this little mouse and Steamboat Willie or the Flintstones. How many know it's not like that at all? There's all this weird aberration going on in these cartoons nowadays. But check this out. In the month of February, this is in 2002. This is many years ago, and things have escalated. In that month alone, it was watched by 56.1 million people, including 32 million people ages 2 through 11. And guess what? This weekend, while we were in Tucson, we were staying at a hotel. My kids were flipping to channels looking for a cartoon. And guess what? They have stumbled upon SpongeBob. And it just happened that this particular episode popped up on the TV. And, you know, I was just talking to my wife, and all of a sudden I began to focus on what it was saying. And God began to show me something. Check this out. The very scene that I looked, they had a seance. And they called it a spirit to come forth. That is what it is. It's a circle where they're calling forth spirits of the crab family or whatever. The very next scene, if you could just show it, it shows another creature playing with a Ouija board, calling forth spirits. And it's funny that the title of this episode is called Ciency or Ciency Schmancy. Like saying, oh, it's nothing. It's nothing. But your kids are watching this stuff. Did you guys know that the Clintons had witchcraft done at the White House? They had a medium, and they were calling for spirits to give them power and wisdom at our White House. The problem with this is that people are seeking the power outside of God. It is a form of idolatry, and it is an abomination. The Bible calls it an abhorrence, you know, in the sight of God. Something that is so hated God. Because we're playing around with God's greatest enemy, or if you could say our greatest enemy, because God has no equal. He's really our enemy, right? And God, he's not even big enough to be called God's enemy because God has so much power over him. And God has given us power, but people are delving into these things not knowing that it brings, you know, confusion, it brings bondage, and it brings oppression on our lives. So I want to talk about that today. And this is something that is not talked about enough in our churches because it's so subtle. It is a part of our culture and it is affecting us in so many unmeasurable ways. It is the subject of the occult. And it has three forms. Divination, which is fortune telling. You know, it could be the tarot, you know, the cards and the palm reading. Anyway, where you're trying to seek your fortune through mediums of the spiritual. And let me tell you, it's not coming from God. It is demons that have insight in the spiritual world and they're passing it forward to us in the natural world. People are thinking, oh, how cool it is. But they don't know that they're bringing curses upon their lives. I mean, the other one is spirit contact. Like what I was just saying, it's like a seance where people are reaching out. They're thinking they're reaching out to, you know, old heroes or family members. And they think, how cool, I'm talking to my grandmother. But don't you know that your grandmother and those heroes can't talk to us? You're talking to demons that are posing as those dead people. And what they're doing is bringing, you know, once again, oppression and confusion into their lives. The last one is sorcery. So it's divination, spirit contact, and sorcery. You can call it ritual or ceremonial magic, where you're talking about spells and incantations. You know, Wiccan, you know, what is white magic. All right? I want to talk about the desensitization or an ability to discern that which is harmful to us and much worse to our children. These are the things that we have seen escalate for those of us who have been around for at least a couple of decades. But your children and our teenagers are being exposed to these things that are supremely destructive. And these things are intentional by their creators. You better believe it. They're not there by chance. Often, like I said, they're inspired by demons with or without the use of drugs. These are the people who have idolatry in their mind. You know, and let me just say this. There's people that are partaking here in hobbies that are taking so much time and effort and emotion in so much such a big part of their heart that you fall into idolatry. And God has just sent me to tell you that you need to be careful with the things that you're spending time in because they're robbing you from God. You say, some of us ask the question, what's wrong with it? Instead of asking, what is right with it? How is the kingdom of God being built up? Amen? So I want to give you three major keys. Actually, I'm jumping ahead. Hold on. So here's my title. counterculture series. It's called The Unseen Enemy. It's sometimes right there in front of us. It's in our houses. It's in, like I said, it's in our government. There's people out there that are reaching out to the occult, not knowing that they're playing with their worst enemy. It's like the mafia. They'll do you a favor, but they're always going to come collect. They're always going to come back and collect that favor that they do for you. So we're going to start with Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. You need to know the basis from the scripture. That's how we set the standard. And it says here, when you enter the land the Lord your God has given you, be very careful not to imitate the detestable customs of the nations living there. For example, never sacrifice your son or daughter as a burnt offering, and do not let your people practice fortune-telling or use sorcery or interpret omens or engage in witchcraft or cast spells or function as mediums or psychics or call forth the spirits of the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. It is because the other nations have done these detestable things that the Lord your God will drive them out ahead of you, but you must be blameless before the Lord your God. The nations you're about to displace consult sorcerers and fortune tellers, but the Lord your God forbids you to do such things. Detestable. The word in the King James is abominable. It comes from the Hebrew word teweba, which means the Lord abhors or hates. So remember, we talk about setting the standard, bearing the standard, and defending the standard in this counterculture series. There's an unseen enemy that is right in front of us, that's so close to us sometimes. But we must know, first of all, from Scripture, that what the Lord God loves and what He hates. We need to know what He loves and what He hates. The Bible says that God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness, but it says that we need to add to our love and our grace knowledge. My people perish because of lack of knowledge, says the scripture. And in the New Testament, in case you're wondering if it's in the New Testament as well, it is. Galatians 5, 19 through 21. It says, now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, and check this out, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envy, and drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you in the past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is serious stuff, people. This is serious stuff. You know, and there are many variations of this in the spectrum of the occult. You talk about Satanism, to witches, to Wiccans, and New Age. And if you talk to them, they won't agree with each other. They won't tell you that they're with each other. They probably think that they're enemies of each other. You know? But in reality, they serve the same master. And you know, and this includes pagan religions, secret societies, even the occult practices in Freemasonry. Some people are getting into Freemasonry in all these societies, supposed to help you get ahead, but they don't know that as you get higher and higher in those levels, you begin to do incantations. And they tell you to repeat omens that you don't know what you're saying, but what you're really, you're invoking demons, and you're invoking curses on your life. It opposes God and the church. So they all worship something other than God and are idolatrous, and it is something abhorrent, like I said, supremely despised by God. For these practices, many nations were condemned to disappear by God. If you want to know how much he hates them, it's like, I'm going to wipe these people off the face of the earth because of the stuff they're getting into. There's no such thing as good magic. There's no white magic. It is all done with the help and influence of demons. It is a counterfeit of the life of the Spirit of God, which empowers us as we surrender. We are led by the Spirit. We don't try to control the Holy Spirit. Amen? The call is all about man and deception, and it can control people and situations supernaturally. I hope this is blessing you. The Bible says that the truth will set you free. And I got to... Come on. My job, once again, as a pastor, yes, is to feed you, to set the example, but also to warn you. To warn you. Let me give you three major keys in deciding what you should allow your kids to see or not. This is important because you're like, well, how do I do it? What should I let my kids do or not? And you know what? There's no cookie cutter answer, but this is what you need to know. First of all, you need to know that the Bible condemns the practice of witchcraft of any level. It's condemned. God doesn't like it. Number two, level of maturity. Our kids do not have the filters that we have, and we have allowed our enemy free access to our homes. Come on. How about all these magic card games, Dungeons and Dragons, and so on and so forth? This is how you can cast a spell on your friend. This is how you cast a spell on her so she can fall in love with you. You think it's just harmless, it's just fun. Number three, you need to ask this question. Do the shows, movies, comics, in our media, does it glamorize or promote the occult? Does it glorify it? Does it make it look cool, exciting? And worse, here's the next question. Does it give keys as to how to access the occult? Because you know what happens? These kids watch the shows and then they go online and they type in Wicca. Or they type in spells, incantations. And I'm telling you, it's all over the place. You know, Paul says that he had an out-of-body experience through the Holy Spirit. But did you know that it's a thing? It's called OBE, out-of-body experience. There's actually a society out there, you know, that has normalized it and said, oh, this is really cool. This is how you get in touch with the spiritual. But did you know that the Satanists, they do astral projections. Their spirit leaves their body and they go into different places to curse people. I'm not making this up, people. There's plenty of this material on this if you want to look it up. Some movies like Harry Potter are very specific in the use of spells. And like I said, they're going on the internet to do the searches. And the last thing, number five, train them to discern. Don't just say don't. Because there's going to be a time when they're going to be on their own. But if you train them in the way that they should go, even when they grow old, they will not depart from it. We need to train them to be discerning. I asked my daughter yesterday, when I tell you to turn off a cartoon, why is it that I turn you to turn off the cartoon? She goes, it's because it has magic in it. She knew the answer. You know, and I'm talking about My Little Pony, right? All kinds of witchcraft in there. And all other messages are in there. Gender stuff is in there. I mean, Care Bears, you know, way ahead of his time was doing that stuff. Oh, it's so cool, magic stuff, potions and spells, you know, even all the Disney stuff. We need to be careful. Train them to discern. So there's three authors I can recommend. One of them, some of them you can find in Focus on the Family. One is Steve Russo. The other one's Marla. And she has like a Polynesian name, Alupoise. I probably said it wrong, you know, but there it is, Marla Alupoise. And another one on crossexamine.org, her name is Marcia Montenegro. And she came out of witchcraft. She came out of wickedness. She knows a lot about this stuff. And now she's a believer. She has a really cool testimony how the Lord delivered her from that. Okay? So here it is, 1 Corinthians 6:12. All things are permissible, but not all things are profitable. I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for me. So you need to know what is good for me. So don't ask what's wrong, but rather what's right. Don't ask, is it hurting me, but rather, can God use this to build the kingdom of God? Amen? All right, so here's my first point. I have 3 points for you today. The strategy of the enemy is desensitization. Desensitization. This is a tough word. Desensitize. I'll just say desensitize because it's too hard to say the one. Here it is. So what used to be repugnant and despicable and not acceptable, even our vocabulary is showing that it's desensitized. What are all the cool words nowadays? Bad, stupid, wicked. Man, that's bad. That's stupid. That's wicked. You think that we haven't been desensitized? All these are acceptable. So many other words I could talk about, but I can't say them in public. But they're on our primetime shows. They used to never be said on our primetime shows. Come on. We have been desensitized. Satan comes as an angel of light. He knows if he just shows up with his horns and the sulfuric smell, you know, ahead of him and a little, you know, cloud of smoke, people are going to go, whoa! But if he comes in as a cute and cuddly angel of light into your home, you go, oh, there's nothing wrong with that. Come on right in. And of course, it always starts with a little bit. You know what another strategy that the enemy uses is they will say something that's so outrageous. I mean, I'm telling you, they'll do shock and awe. They'll just say something that's ridiculously as outrageous. You know, maybe pedophilia is okay to do. And you're like, no way! Having sex with children? That is wicked. That is wrong. That is filth. But then what they said, all right, so now that you've heard that, shock and awe, now they're going to settle for something a little bit more moderate in between. And they'll say things, well, you know what? I can determine my age by the way I feel. You know, I may be 50, but I feel like a teenager. You can't stop me. Don't use prejudice on me because I have age fluidity. Age fluidity. And identity politics will say, you know, you can feel as old as you want. So since I feel like a teenager and that girl is 10, it's okay if I have relations with her. Because she feels like she's 20. I'm telling you, this is where it's going. I'm not. It may seem like shocking to some of you, but it's happening. They're moving the line slowly. And they'll say something so outrageous that next time you'll say, okay, I won't give you that much, but I'll give you a little bit. They'll say, well, what if we have abortions after birth? Whoa! You are nuts! You are crazy! You are an assassin! This is wrong! Okay, so up to 20 weeks and then it's okay. All right, let's just compromise. Because what they said before was so outrageous, you were willing to settle for something in between. We need to set the standard. We need to, you know, bear the standard. And we need to defend the standard that is said in Scripture. Hallelujah. It's amazing how we've been robbed of our biblical inheritance in America. We have believed radical historians who have rewritten history to hide the fact that most of the signers of the Declaration of Independence were not just nominal Christians or deists, but they were strong believers, and many were ministers. Seminary graduates. Hallelujah. Saints finds always one that spans the generations. He'll slowly erase the line and move it over just a couple of inches. Come on. He drops a seed here and there. Come on. Does this sound crazy? And here's an example from the Bible. Solomon, King Solomon, started right. He was a radical believer at the beginning of his reign. God asked him, Solomon, what do you want? It says in 1 Kings 3. Ask for anything and I will give it to you. And this is what he said in 1 Kings 3, verse 9. Give me an understanding heart so that I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong. For who by himself is able to govern this great people of yours? The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for wisdom. So God replies, because you have asked for wisdom and governed my people with justice, I have not asked for a long life or wealth or the death of your enemies. I will give you what you've asked for. I will give you a wise and understanding heart such as no one else has had or ever will have. Come on, what an amazing promise. And I will also give you what you did not ask for, riches and fame. No other king in all the world will be compared to you for the rest of your life. Come on, that's in the Scriptures, people. I didn't make that up. That's what God said to Solomon. But Solomon was desensitized. Little by little, over the years. How did it happen? What began with a radical pursuit of God, you know, he ended up getting carried away. He did not have television or media, but he had women. And he married hundreds of them. And he had concubines. And you know what? He wanted to please them. So he began to compromise. He says, well, I'll still serve my God, but I'll go ahead, you know, and set up that idol that you like over here so you can do your thing. And next thing you know, he was over here. Okay, I'll worship a little bit with you. Come on, just little by little. 1 Kings 11, verses 1 to 6. Now, King Solomon loved many foreign women. Beside Pharaoh's daughter, he married women from Moab, Ammon, Edom, Sidon, and from the Hittites. The Lord had clearly instructed the people of Israel, you must not marry them because they will turn your hearts to their gods. That's desensitized right there. Desensitization. Come on, I'm going to get it. Yes, Solomon insisted on loving them anyway. That was willful. He had 700 wives of royal birth and 300 concubines, and in fact, they did turn his heart away from the Lord. In Solomon's old age, they turned his heart to worship other gods instead of being completely faithful to the Lord his God, as his father David had been. Solomon worshipped Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and Molech, that's the one that people offer babies to. Come on, it's present-day abortion right there. The detestable god of the Ammonites. And in this way, Solomon did what was evil in the Lord's sight. He refused to follow the Lord completely as his father David had done. Come on. Started so well, and somehow in America started so well, and what has happened? Little by little, compromise after compromise, scooting the line over. But God is saying, if we're going to build a mighty nation, you know, I'm talking about believers, a mighty army, and we had a prophecy, you know, and just yesterday I was praying, I said, Lord God, raise up laborers, people that are radical for you, raise up children that love your presence, that know that they've been called. I've been calling for the Samuel generation, even from childhood, that God is calling them, not because of what we're doing, but because God's calling them in their own rooms, in their own time. They might be out in the, you know, in the playground, and God will speak to them, and they'll say, I have a call for you. Come on. An Elisha generation. Come on. People that are willing to stand against the status quo, no matter what anybody says, because they know their God. The people that know their God will do great exploits. Come on. God is raising up a mighty army. But you know why he's doing that? Because of the end time harvest. And in order for us to have that end time harvest, he wants you to make sure that you understand the standard of God that's in the scriptures. We need to read our scriptures. We need to know our scriptures. This is not a time, you know, to just take in our doctrine from what the media is saying. Hallelujah. Hosea 4:6, my people perish for lack of knowledge. My people perish for lack of knowledge. The lost are living in a world that is subject to Satan. They're living under curses and open to destruction. But it is sad because the light and salt, which is who we are of this people, you know, our light is darkened. Our salt is not as tasty as it should be because we've been desensitized. We're no longer repugnant when we see something in the media. It's like, it is what it is. Just talk about them and move on. Point number two, the enemy's goal is bondage and confusion. The enemy's goal is bondage and confusion. Deuteronomy 28, I'm only going to read three verses, 15, 20, and 32. And all these concepts are here. It says, but if you refuse to listen to the Lord your God and do not obey all the commands and decrees I'm giving you today, all these curses will come and overwhelm you. Verse 20, the Lord himself will send on you curses, confusion, and frustration in everything you do. Until at last you're completely destroyed for doing evil and abandoning me. In verse 32, you will watch as your sons and daughters are taken away as slaves. Your heart will break for them, but you won't be able to help them. I think we need to say that again. You will watch as your sons and daughters are taken away as slaves. Your heart will break for them, but you won't be able to help them. Some of us have allowed some of these things in our homes, and then we're wondering why our kids are so oppressed and so confused. I really believe because we've allowed the occult into America, there's a cloud of suicide. There's a cloud of hopelessness sweeping across America. People are committing suicide in greater numbers. Just recently, they had a TV show, and I don't know the title of it, but I was reading it on the media this week, that they had to pull down this particular episode because kids were committing suicide after watching it. It was so clear on its effect. It had such a demonic hold on it. He who sins is a slave to sin, the word tells us. There's a spiritual, emotional, and physical, and I would even say chemical, bondage that comes from opening Pandora's box. The greatest bondage of this generation, once again, is depression and hopelessness. This is a curse that has fallen on America because we're flirting with God's worst enemy, Satan. So we get the spirit of error. Look at what 1 John 4, verses 4 through 6 says. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. And when he talks about overcoming them, they're talking about those that have the spirit of the Antichrist, the spirit of those people that oppose who Jesus is. There is a spirit of Antichrist that's been loose upon the world, and it's in America today. Christians are being talked bad about in every news outlet. Come on. Isn't it true? If you haven't seen that, then you, I don't know where you've been. But it says here, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. The Holy Spirit in us is greater. We have overcome the spirit of Antichrist. But look at this. It says, they are of the world. I mean, they're going to do what they're going to do. Therefore, they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. But we are of God. And he who knows God hears us. Hallelujah. As he's talking about the believers that hear the message, you know, from the apostles. He who is not of God does not hear us. He doesn't have the ability to discern good and evil. It says, but look at this. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The spirit of truth and the spirit of error. In one version it's called the spirit of deception. In another one it's called the spirit of falsehood. The Bible only calls out 14 different spirits by name. 14 spirits. You probably heard of them. Spirit of infirmity. You know, the spirit of heaviness. There's a spirit of error. You know, and the spirit of bondage. There's all these spirits. And they're kind of like your strong men. You know, the Bible says that we need to bind the strong man. These are those big demons that influence over regions and stuff like that. Are you guys understanding that? They have all the specific power, you know, in the spiritual. And there's one specifically called the spirit of error. The spirit of error. So now people are not able, when they're influenced by the spirit of error, to discern between the truth and that which is untruth, between good and evil. So they fall easily trapped. Because it is by the spirit of God that we discern the spirit of truth. When you open yourself to the occult, listen to this. Whether by ignorance or willingly, you become prey to the spirit of error. And it brings confusion into your life. I've seen it. It becomes increasingly difficult to perceive truth, which sets you free. And you cannot easily see Jesus and hear Jesus for who he is. The spirit of Antichrist begins to operate in you. But God has mercy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I've seen believers that one day are on fire and the next day they're almost agnostic. I don't know. Oh, I love Jesus. He's the greatest. And the next day, I don't know if he's even true. It's like, what? How can you flip back and forth so quickly? They're subject to the spirit of error. I mean, we all have doubts. But when the spirit of error is in your life, it causes for you to just lose a hold of truth so easily because people have played with this stuff. The Bible says that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. When you deal with this stuff, when you play with the occult, you begin to have an inability to be stable in truth. It's the truth that sets you free, but it's also the truth that keeps you free. I know someone who has struggled with his faith because even as a church-going young man, he played with witchcraft. He opened books and he played with incantations and sorcery and other cult practices. And he was this kind of person. One day he was like, oh, I love God. And the next day, I don't know. Fall into all kinds of sins. Oh, man. He would just run hard after Jesus. The next day, I don't know. It's like, what is going on with those young men? Well, we went to an encounter retreat and we were ministering deliverance in this session. You know, you guys know, those of you that have been to an encounter retreat, you know, we know that we talk about, you know, the subjects. And we began to speak the names of these 14 spirits by name. And we begin to say, hey, you know, the spirit of bondage and the spirit of infirmity, the spirit of Antichrist, the spirit of, you know. And when I spoke the spirit of error, he began to go, the spirit of error. He had a spirit of error in him, and it began to manifest in him. And an elder that was there, and a few of us, we just came over there, and we began to rebuke the spirit of error upon his life. Come on. There is a spirit of error that is operating on our young people. That's why they're flip-floppers. Not in all of them, but I'm saying some of them that have played with this stuff. And there's also generational curses. We have to be careful with this stuff. So the last point that I want to make, point number three, repent and renounce for restoration. Repent and renounce for restoration. There is a way out. There is a way out. God is telling us to set the standard. You know, all of us, we were far away from God. All of us, we fell into all kinds of sins. The Bible says that all have fallen short of the glory of God. Because of that, we've all gone into stuff that we shouldn't have gone into. It's just the way it is. The cool things that Jesus said, I've been anointed to preach the favorable year of the Lord. I came to release the oppressed. Come on. I came to heal the brokenhearted. That's why I'm here. There is hope for you. There is hope for your family. God has a way out. Even if you play with the occult, God is saying, I have power to set you free. The ground began to shake, we sang today. Come on. The stone was rolled away. He is risen. He is alive. And he has power over every demonic power. It was prophesied in Genesis. It says that, you know, the enemy is going to bite you in your heel, but you're going to squash him on the head. Come on. Jesus squashed the head of the enemy through the power of the cross. By his blood being spilled, come on, once and for all, it says, he paid for all of our sins and of our pain and of all of our curses. The Bible says, cursed is anyone who hangs from a tree. Jesus became cursed. Did you guys know that the cross is also called a tree in the Bible? It's a piece of wood, right? And he hung on this tree and he became cursed for you and I. So that any curse you might have brought upon yourself or other people may have brought upon you, because sometimes it's not what you've done, but maybe what your parents did or your grandparents did or your great-grandparents did. If they got into this stuff and did not repent, you're like, why is it that I feel like something's wrong? I can't grab a hold of truth. Sometimes it's because you're under bondage. You're under curse. But God has said, I can, you know, all you need to do is you need to repent, you need to renounce, and you will be restored. Hallelujah. So here's the key. James chapter 4, verse 7, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. How do we submit to God? First of all, we need to know what the word says about that particular area of your life. Once you know what it is, then you need to put yourself under. You submit yourself to the word. That's what it means to do it. You obey what the word tells you to do. If it says flee from, you know, youthful lust and you go as far as you can, that's submitting yourself to the word. Amen? Some of you may need to go home. I mean, you may need to burn some stuff. You may need to throw away some stuff. You may need to shred some stuff. Come on. And you need to have a conversation with God about it. And you need to repent about it. Hallelujah. We're going to do it today before we leave. We're going to have a general prayer. And we're going to have some altar time as well. And if I can have Ryan to come up with the guitar for now, you know, as I close out. But repentance includes turning away from, turning it off, teaching our kids the right way, teaching our young people the right way, training them to discern. Mark 12, verse 37 says, the words that you say will acquit you or condemn you. There's power when we profess something, when we speak something, and it leaves our mouth. The Bible says that God created the world through his mouth, through his words, through his breath. So God has given us the same authority. So that's why Mark 12:37 says, by the words that you speak, you will either be, you know, acquitted or you will be condemned. So when you begin to say, God, I realize now that I've sinned against you, you know, and I renounce any agreement that I may have had with things that are occultic, things that are abominable, things that are abhorrent, things that are detestable to you. I repent from this day forward. I will not touch that stuff. You know, and I declare to you saying, I have no agreement with you any longer. My life belongs to God. My spirit belongs to God. My body belongs to God. My mind belongs to God. You have no part of me. And you speak that out. The spiritual world hears you. And God's grace is released upon your life to bring, you know, deliverance upon you. Come on. Hallelujah. So whether it was divination and fortune telling, tarot cards, getting your hand read, or something else, if you're connected with spirits other than the Spirit of God, come on, the necromancy or seances or any other game where you were doing incantations or playing with this stuff because you thought it was cool, you know, sorcery or spells, all these things that invoke demons, it's time to renounce them. And you're like, oh, that was such a long time ago. I would just make sure that that is not on you. Does that make sense? God reveals things to us sometimes, you know, at a specific time, in our lives so that we may repent from it. Sometimes we may not be ready for it, but when, you know, the knowledge comes and the grace for it comes, then we need to act upon it. We need to activate that truth in our lives. Does that make sense? Sometimes when we're baby Christians, we're not ready for certain things. And some of you may even be a baby Christian, but he has you here today. And for a reason, he doesn't want you to continue in this path. He doesn't want you to persevere, you know, playing with this stuff. So today is the day of salvation, says the scripture. I'm going to ask everyone to stand up. And lastly, I want to say the word tells us not to contrite the Holy Spirit. When we play with this stuff, with the occult, it saddens the Holy Spirit. It saddens him. And he flees. Remember, he's a gentle dove like a fell on Jesus. And he just begins to say, well, apparently I'm not welcome here. You stole my son, you stole my daughter, but I can't be here because of the stuff that you're playing with. There's some idolatry in your life. But when you begin to show fruit in keeping with repentance, as John the Baptist commanded the people to do, then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says, this is a place for me. And it begins to come upon your life. Hallelujah. We cannot have two masters. He will not inhabit a place where the enemy of our lives is glamorized or glorified in any manner. And last, 1 John 1:9. Let's read it together. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. Hallelujah. Come on. I want everyone to close your eyes. We're going to have a prayer, you know, of deliverance over you as we have the prayer team come up as well. They're going to be ready. If anybody needs to be prayed for, you say, you know what? I've dealt with this stuff in great manner, and I need someone to pray with me about this stuff, because maybe you're having a hard time sleeping. You know, there's demons that are just messing with your head. They're messing with your peace. They're stealing from you. You have a spirit of ruin in your life. You're like, money just falls through my fingers. You know, there's just curses and bondage of all kinds. I feel like I'm always being drawn away to things that I don't want to do. You may be under bondage. So let's pray. Close your eyes. And just say, Father, this day I repent of any agreement I may have had with the practices of the occult, whether it was divination, whether it was sorcery, in contacting spirits. I was ignorant. I wanted power. But now I realize that it is detestable to you. So I repent of my ways. And I declare to Satan, I want nothing to do with you and with your demons. I break the power of the occult and its consequences upon me, upon my family, and upon my descendants. In Jesus' name, I declare this day, my spirit belongs to God. My mind belongs to God. Hallelujah. And my body belongs to God. All that I am belongs to God. My future is in you, God. I want you more than anything else. I hold no idolatry in my life. And the Holy Spirit may be convicting you even now that there's some things that have taken precedence in your life. The Bible says we cannot serve both God and mammon, both God and money. Or there's hobbies, or there's situations, or people that you love more than God, and God is saying, you need to lay them down. This is the day of repentance. This is the day of deliverance. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask for the prayer team to come up and be ready. Come on. Hallelujah. We're going to sing a song, and as you feel led, come on up and be prayed for. We want to lay hands on you. You may need to have someone, you know, just break some things off of you. An anointed man, anointed woman of God to just speak the word of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. It's already doing work. The rest of us, let's worship. Let's make a place where the Holy Spirit can move, where His angels can come and minister. Even as people are being delivered. But don't leave if you need a touch from God. Hallelujah.